Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for September the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property using the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, and the checks and balances absolutely brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a road to hoe, but it can be done. Americans have done hard things before, and the takeaway is we can do hard things. We had last hour on Sheriff Carolyn Bunny Welch of Chadsford, Pennsylvania. And Bunny Welch is the first woman to be elected sheriff of Chester County. She's the only woman sheriff in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. She's also one of only 38 sheriffs in the nation that are female. But she's been a working mom all through her career. She's now a grandma. She knows what working professionals deal with. And Trump made good on his GOP promise, outlines child care affordability. The child care affordability plan would allow parents to deduct child care expenses from their income taxes, guarantee 6 weeks of paid maternity leave, and create new income accounts that can be used. They're called dependent care savings accounts. And it's pro-family, it's pro-child, it's pro-worker, said the Donald. The plan allows for a federal income tax deduction of child care expenses for up to 4 children and elderly dependents. Anyway, kind of interesting. Interesting indeed. Kurt, what do you think about this? On one hand, I don't like it. Because it's government insurance, it's government mandated, it messes with the private sector. This is something that you and I would be very critical of, and justly so. At the same time, in the climate that we face, you know, what do you expect the Donald to do? The whole nation's hooked on lollipop socialism, right?
Well, that's a great point, Sam, and, you know, that's the situation we're in, and I think, at least from what I can tell, that, you know, with this plan here, it's just a way for him to say, hey, you know, we're giving all these other goodies away. We hand out freebies to, illegal immigrants, to, you know, other countries all around the world. At least if we encourage, you know, and say, hey, if you've got a baby, you know, it's not going to be a hard thing on you or whatever. At least that kind of encourages families, sort of. What do you think?
Well, again, like I say, I believe a plan like this is socialism. I don't really like the government being involved in this. However, in Trump's defense, I would simply say we have so much of this socialism, I'm not sure it's a whole lot worse than anything else. What I mean by that is if we're talking about tax deductions or other things, and if we're not going to increase spending, but we're going to reduce taxes to pay for it, you know, you almost wonder, and this is a weird position to be in, but you almost wonder and say, if we have this much socialism and nobody can support their families, any tax deduction that you can get, Kurt, almost is good no matter what form it takes. Now, I know that's a general statement, and I'm not defending this plan at all. I'm just telling you that at what point when you have so much socialism, let me give you an example. Let's say they steal money from me for my whole working career, 50 years of work, and they steal my money over the Medicare lie, Medicaid, Medicare, whatever. And then I get 62 or 67 or whatever age I get, and I now decide, you know what, I'm going to be on Social Security now. Now, am I a bad guy and a socialist for doing it? Well, you know, it's hard to say. Just because they stole from me, that doesn't give me the right to steal from the next generation. So it's theft. It's wrong. But at some point when the system has basically stole my savings and my ability to support myself, at what point do I say, you know what, the system has got me so controlled, so manipulated, so shut down that I almost can't do anything but. And I'm not defending that argument, Kurt, but I am saying to some degree it's the reality we live in. For example, a lot of people have their kids in government school not because they want to, but because they can't afford any other choice. And maybe they or their spouse is unwilling or incapable of teaching them themselves. And so people are trapped into a lot of this stuff. We were born into it. I didn't have a choice to decide whether I wanted the Social Security system or not. And the second I started working, they gave me a Social Security card and said, hey, you got to pay into this thing. They'll take care of you when you're old. And I'm like, what? And then I gained knowledge about it and I rejected. But what can I do about it? You know, I'm 30 years into my working career almost now, Kurt, and I don't really see that I can do much about them stealing my money. Now, if it comes to the time raising 8 children, not being willing to put them in government schools myself, at what point, if I end up on their Social Security system, is it really my fault? Is there really anything I can do to prevent it? And I don't know. But I bring all that up not to defend Donald Trump's plan, but to say it is something to really think about and consider. How much socialism we have, and in a roundabout way, could it be a way to give family some breathing room? Then we can educate family and talk about things. You know, what choices are there? And I personally think you got to have mom stay home and take care of kids, but that's an old-fashioned notion they claim. Nevertheless, I think it's the correct point of view. However, what do you do, Kurt, when you can't pay the bills that way? There's too much taxes. Now health care is mandated. At some point, they're forcing you onto the dole, and I'm not so sure that it's possible to get off in many cases. What do you say?
Well, it's at least in my opinion, one of the things that he's focused on, Trump has, you know, you got the border issues, you got the jobs issues with the companies and the trade deals that we've got with the other countries. Those are certainly fixes in many ways where people could actually get a job and, you know, pay their own way, at least be putting in instead of taking out. And I believe that when you get more and more of that and you get possibly more child care providers or whatever like that, or maybe even an improvement where the men would be able to earn more money and there would be less need of the woman having to work and more opportunity for her to take care of the children, as happened for many years here in America, that those would be ways to fix things. And maybe these are kind of temporary patches on the way there. That's what I kind of hope for.
Well, and that's kind of what I meant by a little bit of breathing room for families so they can actually maybe do something, right?
Well, yeah, and many times there's even, part of it could be an encouragement for maybe your own family member or maybe your grandma or whatever to take care of those children and be able to earn something that way. I don't know. I do know this. For example, when it comes to education, we'd prefer complete abolishment of the government school system. But you know, there are some who say, well, yeah, then what? And I on the way there, though, I would sure like to see us have, you know, the voucher systems, that kind of thing, where at least there were choices that people could make, where they could put the dollars that were associated with their child to what they chose. And I think that would be a move in the right direction. I think you could see it the same way with health care, where families could say, look, these are the dollars that would go with our health care thing. They could either stay in our health savings account so we are encouraged to be healthier, or go to what we choose those dollars to go to. You know, choice is kind of interesting. The pro-choice crowd always wants to use it for killing babies, but when it comes to, say, a guy like me that might not want to sell some honey with a sticker on it, no choice there. You know what I mean, Sam?
Oh, no, you might hurt somebody, my friend.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I just wish that little baby could taste honey. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, good point.
All right, it's interesting, and we bring it all up not because we endorse Donald Trump's plan. We have some concerns about it, but again, are you going to compare it towards Hillary's plan? You know, what's the relevant context in which this is being discussed? And I certainly support the Daryl Castle, Scott Bradley idea, which would be get government out of it completely. absolutely completely out of it. Lower taxes and mom and dad can work out their own deal. But the problem is that's not the environment we're in. And how do you work your way out of this thing slowly? How do you stand on principle but yet realize that we teach to the ideal and live in the real to some degree? And believe it or not, this whole discussion, Kurt, in my opinion, comes down to religious freedom. I know that sounds goofy, but I'm convinced if we had religious freedom, other freedoms follow. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about an incredible speech and a seminar that was given regarding religious freedom and what we can do to get involved and etc. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
One of the incredible mistakes, Kurt, I think people make oftentimes is when they talk about freedom or liberty, they oftentimes leave religious freedom out of it. And they're like, hey, Sam, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And they kind of waffle on this religious thing. And they don't want to talk about God. They don't want to really deal with that issue. And they kind of run around and say, you know, you can be free and not talk about, believe in, focus on God, right, Sam? And my response is, to a degree, yes. To a degree, no. Now, we don't need to get into the keys to theology and say you got to be a Catholic, you got to be a Mormon, you got to be a Protestant, you got to be an evangelical, you got to be... We don't need to get into those details because I'm convinced that everybody can worship according to the dictates of their own conscience and believe as they will. And if they believe that going out in the forest and having spirituality and not necessarily joining a religious sect is their choice, they're free to do that, and I support that. And so I don't want to delve into differences of religion or anything else. But religious freedom, in general, is not based on fighting about the keys to theology. It's based on an understanding that something greater than government, I would call it a supreme being, I'd call the author of our liberty. The founding fathers talked about the Almighty, talked about God and nature's God, talked about all kinds of general terms. But an acknowledgement that there's a higher source of authority than government is the critical component. And then an understanding of Judeo-Christian ethics to say, look, Jesus Christ is our Savior, and our liberties come from Him. In fact, the Ten Commandments are the blueprint for civilized, moral, Christian societies. Anyway, some folks were speaking about this, Kurt, at a conference in Texas, right?
That's correct, Sam. Now, this is one of the leading authorities of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, by the way, based in Utah, was there participating along with a few others as well. His name is Dallin H. Oaks. He also, before his call to serve in this, was a Utah Supreme Court member. And so it's interesting, the headline of the article from the Church News staff writer is, Elder Oaks encourages members to understand, promote religious freedom. And I guess down in Colleyville, Texas, they had this event. They basically announced a new website. It's called the Religious Freedom, or excuse me, this conference was called the Religious Freedom Conference, and the website is religiousfreedom.lds.org. They provide examples and helps for people to understand what religious freedom is and how they can defend their religious principles, religious beliefs in a kind and civil way. Huh. And one of the quotes given was, everyone from kindergarten children through the ranks of professionals and mothers and fathers and friends and neighbors can and should understand what religious freedom is and why it's important. That's what Dallin H. Oaks said. He declared that. Then there's Elder Lance B. Wickman. He's also an emeritus general authority 70, and he spoke about suggestions for engaging in the protection of religious liberty at the Dallas-Fort Worth Regional Religious Freedom Conference. Now, I don't think there was much coverage about this on Fox or anything else, but I guess they had people from what's called 25 stakes. Those are connected groups of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in this Texas area. They did them by a broadcast as well. And, they said this is the first of its kind to focus on religious freedom and what you as members can do to help defend it. I guess it was a two-hour evening event that included several speeches. It's just one of those things, Sam, that I see as the sign of the times. We're told that, we have freedom of speech, and yet you find out that certain kinds of speech is unacceptable these days.
And I'm convinced that, Dallin H. Oaks, one of the 12 apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and some of the people involved in this freedom conference, they really nail it, Kurt, when it comes to talking about freedom. Listen, if you ignore religious freedom, in other words, ignore the right of conscience is the way the founding fathers talked about it a lot, Kurt. You literally can't talk about any other rights because you will lose them all.
That's right.
If you don't have the right to your own body and to your own conscience to think and believe and worship as you will, and if you are persecuted and or prosecuted for articulating those beliefs, in other words, your free speech, your freedom to assemble, your right to the press, if you don't have those things, Kurt, I submit to you that you don't have much. And so we need to understand, can't debate, I want to run around in the streets topless and act like that's a right and ignore religious freedom. That's not going to work. Religious freedom starts with a moral code, Kurt, a code of ethics, a moral compass based on the creator of liberty's laws. We don't get to choose those laws. We just get to acknowledge them and or embrace them or reject them and have the blessings or the consequences. That's the reality. Things as they really are is reality, Kurt. And that's the way it really is.
And he points out in part of his speech, Elder Oaks says, in many relationships and circumstances in life, individuals must live with differences as they are living in the world but not of the world. He went on to say, while our differences should not be denied or abandoned, as followers of Christ, we should live peacefully with others who do not share them. That's good ideas, good counsel. We've got to live together in peace, but we, also need to stand up for our principles. He says fairness for all, including people of faith.
And that's the interesting thing. They want, quote, fairness for all, except for they want the people of faith to be sidelined. They want all races to be, diverse, but the white people can't sit at the table. They want, and it goes on and on, they want free choice, pro-choice, whatever. But the people who want to protect their babies and have pro-life, they're not welcome. Women are free to be, perverted and promote anything but motherhood. You speak up as a mother and say, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. They're like, what's wrong with you, you failure? And this kind of an attitude is intolerant, unacceptable, and we need to, again, have respect for those who make choices that may not be popular in the world, but in my opinion would be oftentimes the right course.
I'll give you an example story that comes out right now. You've got the NCAA that's basically now said to North Carolina, where they choose not to follow the, federal government's, transgender bathroom whole bill. That's their choice. So now the NCAA as a whole has said, hey, we're going to move 7 championships out of North Carolina due to this whole thing. Now, I think they're being, at least in my opinion, you could sure say they're not being very tolerant of North Carolina. They're certainly forcing them to do certain things. I call upon the good people that participate in the NCAA to basically say, hey, we're not going to support you, the leadership in this, because you guys aren't, here this whole deal of whether you, an individual is a boy or a girl is all, running this whole thing. It's just a mess we've got in America.
Well, we're basically leaving the moorings? The moorings that have set our nation, in my opinion, on solid footing when it comes to respecting the author of liberty's laws. And if we jettison those, if we turn our back on God, we become more secular, we will reap the whirlwind and the consequences, folks. And that's the crossroads we're at right now, thus the religious freedom focus.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
This hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
According to the official 9/11 narrative, a handful of Islamic radicals armed with common box cutters, following a plan designed and supervised by a man tethered to a dialysis machine in a cave in Afghanistan, staged an attack that brought down the Twin Towers, inflicted cataclysmic damage on the Pentagon, and may have left the Capitol Dome or the White House a charred and smoldering ruin were it not for the heroism of the citizens' militia that spontaneously assembled on United Flight 93. The official estimate of the total cost of the 9/11 operation, once again following the government-approved narrative of that event, was about $400,000. By way of comparison, the U.S. government has spent more than $1 trillion on domestic counterterrorism efforts over the past 15 years, observes allgov.com. This doesn't include the ongoing costs of the war in Afghanistan, which was supposedly intended as reprisal for the attacks, the war in Iraq, a country that had nothing to do with the 9/11 assault, the war in Syria, a conflict that grew out of the unwarranted Iraq war, and the wars elsewhere. On the 15th anniversary of 9/11, pundits and politicians lamented that despite those expenditures, the U.S. is more imperiled than ever. John Mueller, a senior research scientist at Ohio State's Mershon Center for International Security Studies, insists that public perceptions of the terrorist threat are a political artifact. By Mueller's calculations, an American faces roughly a 1 in 4 million chance of being killed by a terrorist on American soil. From a statistical perspective, an American is more likely to be killed by lightning, getting struck by a deer, or by an accident involving household furniture. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
This religious freedom discussion is a critical one. And again, you don't have to be overtly religious. You don't have to break down into the details of your personal beliefs. You just have to respect and understand all beliefs. And you got to get together and work on things peacefully and kindly and realize that everybody has a seat at the table. And that's kind of the point of the discussion. We also need to realize that the more we move away from God's Ten Commandments, ten rules for a civilized society, if you will, you can call it a religious creed, you can call it what you desire, but nevertheless, we move away from that. We move to the ten gazillion government mandates, laws, commandments, rules. And those are only for the people who obey them, you and I, see? I would pay my income taxes, even though I think that that's bogus, because I don't want to go to jail and because I don't thumb my nose at the law. Hillary Clinton and crew are flat out absolutely involved in criminal activity. You don't destroy evidence after subpoenas, folks. You don't thumb your nose at subpoenas and just refuse to show up. You don't stonewall and prevent documents from being turned over. The Justice Department, the FBI, all in bed for this cover-up, folks. Well, again, we come back to this, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet the slot of presidency of the United States. I mean, you know, and so this religious freedom issue is critical, Kurt. And so there's a website that people need to know about.
That's a good point.
You want to give that out?
Yeah, that's called religiousfreedom.lds.org is the website. And, you know, it's, I think it has to do with so much of the things that we see are out of sync here in America. And many of them are, you know, this whole idea that, you know, in the days of old, we'd have, they'd decry if you wanted to ban a book at the school library because, hey, it had inappropriate material in it. And yet now, you know, if you want to talk about religion, you know, that's pretty much banned. If you want to bring up the idea that, I mean, you just want to have a choice in some, whatever issue it is, as long as it's not politically correct, it's just like out of there, you know. If it is politically incorrect, then it's out of there. You can't even bring it up. And that's not the way it should be, you know.
You got that right. Anyway,
you got the NCAA, for example, that they say they don't hold championships in states where governments display the Confederate battle flag or at schools that display hostile and abusive Native American imagery. You know, and so
I would say,
Kurt,
what we need to say is we don't attend NCAA events.
Yeah.
Period. If that's the way you're going to be, that's the way we can be. Now, the problem with that, Kurt, is it's kind of the boycott, shut everybody down plan. What we need to do is try to find a way to sit down at the table with them and have reason here and say, look, you know what? People can believe as they want to. And we got to have a way to work together on this. You know, it's hard for me when people talk about peaceful discussions of religious freedom when these other organizations are so hostile, Kurt.
Yeah.
Like, how do I sit down with Hillary Clinton to discuss things when she's ready to throw me in jail?
Good point.
It's hard to be, you know. Anyway, but the NCAA is a great example that makes your point, Kurt. And what do you think we should do from here?
Well, you know, at least we've got to engage and be a part of the whole picture as much as possible. You know, as you've taught us about the media being so important, he who owns the media makes the rules. There's a lot that can be done. It's true that, you know, we would always prefer to do more than what we're currently able to do, but we ought to just, you know, do our best with what we've been given.
Amen to that. But yeah. Let's be very clear. We're getting a lot done, Kurt.
Yep.
You know, the news we've made this year, the discussions about race, I think are important. The discussions about morality, I think, are important. The discussions about gender and all these discussions, I think, are important. Are we as a nation going to turn towards God and towards his definition? Biblically speaking, you know what? God created male and female. Mm-hmm. And you know what? God says that we need to be kind to one another and live by the Ten Commandments and these things. Are we going to double down as a nation and support that view and move forward accordingly? Or are we going to move towards this secularism by force? In other words, the NCAA is going to say, all right, look, here's how it is. You're going to go along, we're going to shut you down. We need to have a polite discussion. If we can coexist, fine. But if they push the envelope, I simply say, you know, what is the NCAA, Kurt? That's what we ought to start saying, right? What is it?
Good point.
I don't recognize that organization.
Yep.
Right? And that's where we need to go. Because what is the NCAA? Isn't that something to do with colored, Kurt?
No, this case is the National Collegiate Athletic Association.
All right. But I got a question. How many white people are in it, Kurt?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's an organization of color, right?
Well, I think it's, you know, as far as I know, almost every university is part of the NCAA.
Yeah, but all I'm telling you is if you go look at the teams, how many of them are white? And then when it catapults to the, what, teams after college? Then, in other words, the professional teams?
Pros. Mm-hmm.
The pros? Okay, where does that go? And how many of those folks are white? So here's my point. We can divide on color there. Then we're going to divide on gender now, and the color and the universities funded by our tax dollars are going to shut down anybody who wants women or girls safe in a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what this has come to?
It's
and then we say it's not about color, Sam. It's about universities and sports. Well, then why is everybody on there black?
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with black athletes that are plenty good. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with, again, we want diversity as long as white people don't have a seat at the table. We want diversity as long as Christians aren't there. We want diversity as long as family people aren't there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the problem that I have, and that's why this religious freedom discussion needs to happen. Look, are we going to be tolerant and kind and have real diversity? What about the woman that wants to have a baby? Is she allowed to sit at the pro-choice table? Or is it pro-choice as long as we don't have her choice?
Yep.
And so I joke about the NCAA being a colored organization or organization of color, but what's the difference between the NCAA and the NAACP?
Good point.
I mean, they're all full of black people who, so-called, have not been given any fair treatment in America. Nevertheless, they've taken over these organizations. How did that happen with no fairness? How did that happen if we have total control, meaning the white people? Okay, at some point, what they're saying does not add up. And at some point, you got to say there's something missing at this, quote, diversity table.
Yep.
And it all comes down to religious freedom. Because what drives it, now, if you're a black guy and you stand for Christian values, you stand for equality for all, then you're Uncle Tom. If you're a white guy, you're clearly a racist. If you're a woman, you're just an out of touch, under the thumb of your husband and better in the kitchen idea, right? If you stand up for anything, in my opinion, praiseworthy or of good report. It's only when you support their view is it all okay. That's the problem, folks. All right, enough of that. Let's go to the fugitive, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I, you know, the other day we were talking about the vaccine rights and then, of course, the whole drug world that we live in and the medical world. The movie The Fugitive with, you know, some great actors, Harrison Ford, for example, points out in this movie some bad guys who basically fudge the numbers and get a patent on a drug that makes them really rich. And at the same time, they kill Harrison Ford's wife. And, you know, he in the movie is basically, you know, convicted of it. And then he gets out of jail, basically escapes and not really out of jail, but on his way to jail, gets away. And then he, you know, gets the guy who really did the crime. And it's, I don't know, in my opinion, Hollywood does teach us some good things every
Is
so
justice
often.
Done, Kurt?
Well, I think so.
Well, funny. Maybe we need more of that going on when it comes to Hillary and crew.
Yeah, good point.
Maybe we need accountability for crimes.
Yep.
Maybe we need to say, look, you cannot just steal the Oval Office. We're not going to let you do that in America. You can't covet power. We don't seek power on Liberty Roundtable Live or Liberty News Radio. We seek to pull it down, folks. And that's kind of the difference, is what are we seeking for? And the problem with a lot of these, in my opinion, opinions today when it comes to diversity or these agendas, do we get to have a say? Do we get to have a seat at the table? Do we get an opportunity? Anyway, The Fugitive, breaking down at the medical establishment and drugs and crime, and, man, we need justice. And that equates to liberty.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the American Family Association. And this is serious indeed, folks. But the American Family Association has a new petition that I thought I'd tell you about that I find important. I just signed it. Headline says, "Dear Sam, the American Family Association, thank this Attorney General for taking on Target." American Family Association, AFA.net. Last May, Texas Attorney General and Chief Law Enforcement Officer Ken Paxton sent a letter to Target's CEO requesting clarification of the retail chain's bathroom and dressing room policies. Mr. Paxton said it is possible that allowing men in women's restrooms could lead to criminal and otherwise unwanted activity. The Attorney General also stated, as the chief law enforcement and lawyer for the state of Texas, think about that. "I ask that you provide the full text of Target's restroom policy." Okay? "Because we believe that people could use the cover of Target's restroom policies to be a problem. We need all your procedures here. Provide the full text of Target's safety policies." Target has done nothing since the letter to prevent men from entering women's restrooms. Now, Target's policy has already resulted in two separate sexual violations on women in Texas stores. I guess a man went in there with a cell phone and started videotaping a woman in the dressing room. In response to that, Ken Paxton, Attorney General, again reached out to Target, saying, "After this latest incident, I hope Target finally recognizes the importance of protecting its customers. I am offering the resources of my office to help Target get this right." Now, Attorney General Paxton is taking a lot of heat. He's standing against Target's unsafe policies of allowing men to go into women's and little girls' restrooms. Take action now. Please sign the petition. Sign our petition of appreciation to Mr. Paxton. I hope we get a ton of signatures on this, Kurt. I signed it. Good for Mr. Paxton. And I hope everybody will go to AFA.net, find that petition, and sign that sucker. Let's let him know that his actions are an example for attorney generals in every state. I wish our state was aboard with that, Kurt. Just imagine if we had 50 states doing this.
Now, this isn't the boycott target pledge. This is the...
Thank Mr. Paxton for standing up to support the boycott target pledge and to support the efforts. Yeah.
See if I can find it there.
Type in Ken Paxton petition.
Okay, I see Texas AG continues to take on target.
Yes, sir.
Okay, at least there's a Texas guy who's, let's see, targets policy in his letter. I'm just looking for the, there it is, sign the petition now.
Yeah, you going to sign that bad boy, Kurt?
Yeah, I could maybe do it. I'll put an X there, you know.
Yeah, I already got it done. I signed that bad boy.
They say there's 35,839 signers.
How many?
So far. 35,839.
We need 35 million, Kurt.
Yes, we do.
Come on. But anyway, see, this is an example of things that you can do. This is an example of good people standing up. I wish the North Carolina. I wish their attorney general would join the state of Texas and Ken Paxton. I wish Utah would join. Sean Reyes, let's get it done, my friend. See, what a difference we could make, right?
Yeah.
All right. I guess Vladimir Putin's in the news, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, our buddy Vladimir. It's kind of interesting when you look at he's now, I guess, appointed a TV host, and the TV host has said, this is according to Paul Joseph Watson at InfoWars, has said that they may kill Donald Trump. I guess the prominent Russian TV host and journalist, the guy's name is Dmitry Kiselov. He warned that the elite may kill Donald Trump because of his desire to build better relations with Moscow. I guess he began a monologue by discussing the latest polls, which show Trump edging ahead of Clinton, as well as Trump's promise that he would form very, very good relations with Russia if he becomes president. The article from the InfoWars Boys says this combination, Trump's leading in the race, his ability to state things as they are, and his intention to end the recent extreme Russian-American tensions, all this puts him in a very risky situation, says the host Kiselov.
Yeah, especially when you look at the old body counts running the Clintons, you kind of think, holy moly.
Yep. He says, now
they
may just
people
kill
by names too, Kurt.
The host adds, yeah, good point.
You know, and I'm not here to praise Russia necessarily, but I am saying, you know what? They've got a genuine point.
Uh-huh. Good point. He went on to say the American establishment is merciless. That's what we'd call the kingmen or the insiders. The American oligarchs also do not need such a president for these oligarchs. The existing world order ensures solid and stable business. For them, a Trump who is ready to settle issues with Russia means that the finances will flow in a different direction. The article goes on to say the idea of Trump being assassinated before he is allowed to take office has become a common theme given the deluge of death threats the New York billionaire receives, threats that prompted him to begin wearing a bulletproof vest at all public events. Kind of makes him seem a little bit stiffer. The characterization of Trump as a would-be dictator, the article continues, by some quarters of the leftist media, has also emboldened mentally unstable individuals to make threats against Trump's life. I guess back in June, a 20-year-old guy grabbed a police officer's gun during a Trump rally in Vegas as part of a plot to kill the Republican nominee. Anyway, interesting coming from the Russians and reported by Paul Joseph Watson and InfoWars.
Well, I think it's a serious concern.
Yeah, good point.
And not to be highlighted, Kurt, like I always run around and tell everybody, if they tell you that I Arkansas-ed, know they're lying.
Yeah, good point.
Know that it isn't true.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's important to kind of understand that. Now, Kurt, you brought up an article about this new liberal arts degree that I could get, right, Kurt? You know, it's going to be awesome if I get this sucker.
Yeah. You know, it's just kind of an example of how they call it a useless liberal arts degree. This is a LibertyNewsRadio.com piece, LibertyNewsDaily.com piece. And they say, thanks to the infusion of billions of taxpayer dollars to support student loans, grants, and other incentives, higher education has become another speculative bubble. With the encouragement of the federal government, millions of Americans, from recent high school grads to non-traditional students in middle age, have taken out loans to pay for college on the assumption that getting a diploma will dramatically enhance their earning power. That's a lie many times. Every speculative bubble eventually collapses under the weight of the bad investments it encourages. One leading indicator of the impending collapse of the speculative higher education bubble is the decision by the University of Iowa's Board of Regents to create a bachelor's program in social justice, as is the case with similar degree programs in contrived and useless fields such as gender studies. Social justice studies would follow an interdisciplinary approach. By the way, I heard one the other day. They were teaching kids how to create video games better. But anyway, here's one. The proposal predicts that the degree program would be best suited to students who express a desire to integrate academic work more deeply with anticipated career paths, like social activist work with a nonprofit. Appropriately, they say this social justice degree program going to be incorporated into the university's Department of Gender, Women's, and Sexuality Studies. About 24 students are expected to enroll the first year, then they're going to go for about 110 students in the seventh year. There's no money to be made in education, though, Sam. I mean, you know, it's all for service, of course.
Not for you and me, there ain't, that's for sure. All right, Ed, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Reject the liberal arts degrees, folks. Stand for the sacred cause of liberty with us, would you please? Our websites for your financial support and more, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, and LibertyNewsRadio.com. Check them out. Donate today. Get involved in the solutions. We're grateful for your support, folks. We're grateful for you being part of our family, for us standing together for the absolute critical cause of liberty for us and our posterity. This nation shall endure.